care for us. They, but yet, they don't care for us as much as God cares for us. And it's good to have people in our lives that do look out for us, that are praying for us, that help us out. We know that if we call them in the middle of the night, hey, they're going to be responding. They're gonna, what can I do to help you? And that's great. We need those people. We need to be those people, because we help people experience God's love when we love them. So today, I want to pray a specific prayer for us today. I want to pray for our needs as a church, but also want to pray that we will be that person who shares and shows God's love to friends and family, and people maybe we work with, so that folks will learn about God's love through us. You ready for that prayer? That's a big prayer. That's all right, it's a good prayer. So let's pray that prayer this morning, okay? Let's do that. God, we love you. We thank you for your continued displays of grace and mercy, just day in and day out. You never cease to amaze us in how much you love us. And today, we're going to be reminded that life is hard. We go through hardships, and yet we need to endeavor to persevere. And so help us, Lord, to not just do that personally, but to be someone that comes alongside others and helps them to endeavor to persevere through their hardships, that in that display of love and compassion, that we will share your love with the people that are around us, that people will be drawn to you, Lord, not to us. Help us point people to you by the way we love them, that our love would be a reflection of how you love us and have loved us and will continue to love us. And I ask this simple prayer in Jesus' name, and also that you would bring healing and restoration. You would have mercy upon those who are sick, that you would renew the fire within us. If maybe it's gone dim, but that we would draw close to you personally, even closer than we've been, that we would find healing and strength through our faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, we give you praise and honor and present these requests to you, trusting that by faith you hear and are able to honor these prayers for your glory. Amen. Amen. Well, you're welcome to be seated. Grab a seat. As we do that, I'd like to invite our kids that are here today for a kids' church. You guys are dismissed. May the Lord bless you as you go. Have some fun this morning. I know it'll be a good time for you. We'll miss you, but we'll see you right after the rest of our service today. I know I'm not losing my voice. Can't be. Just getting started. I'd like to ask our ushers to be in position and go ahead and come on up forward to receive our offering today. As we give, remember, hey, we're giving not just to keep the lights on and to, you know, pay a pastor and to do the ministries here and have the AC on in 90-degree weather, but also so that the work we do shares the gospel around the world. All of it matters. And so I ask today the Lord bless what we bring in, that he would use it for all of the needs of the church for his glory. So, Father, we ask you, take what we give as an expression of faith. We joyfully give it and ask you to multiply it. Would you do above and beyond what we could ever ask for, hope for, or even imagine by the work of your grace? Amen. Amen. Well, let me ask you, how many of you like to play golf? Just show of hands. How many like to play golf? Some of you over here, a couple of over here. Okay. How many of you like to fish? I knew the crowd of men. More hands went up. How many of you like to hunt? More hands going up even there. All right, there we go. How many of you like to eat? Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to get everybody on that one. Just kidding. If you've ever played golf or gone fishing or hunting, those are three things that I tell you. I've played golf before and I've gone fishing. You know, I've done both a number of times. And I tell you that I've discovered a little secret. What's the truth, really? And that truth is that it's frustrating. It tests your patience like nothing I've ever come across in my whole life. You get out there, you hit the ball, and you go, I know I could do better than that. I just hit the ball better than that on the last hole. And you go out there and you hit it again. That did not go where I thought it would. Or you sit in the woods and you're waiting and it looks like the perfect day, you know, for just so quiet and still and the wind's not blowing. It's maybe a little damp out there and it's cool. It's like it doesn't get any better than this. And you're sitting there and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting. Where is that deer? I told him I'd be here. Did he get lost? What in the world? Oh, but I tell you what, I have come to also discover what I want to put on the screen and read to you this morning, and that is this. Go ahead and put that up there. A bad day of fishing is better than a good day at work. But that would not be about me, because I love working here, and I love working with you guys. So for me, I'll just let that lie. I just let it go, right? Oh, my goodness. There are things in life, no doubt, you can relate and have a little fun as we get started. But, yeah, no doubt. I mean, there are things in life that, honestly, I mean, we all know, they test our patience. Not even talk about kids today. I'm just going to let that one go. And if we were kids, how we tested, you know, our parents' patience, no doubt. But I'm not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole. Nor being married, none of that. Just letting that go. There are things in our lives that will test our patience. They will test our perseverance. They will hit us heavy, hit us hard, and they'll send us stumbling back a step or two. And we've got a choice that sits in front of us. We have to decide, am I going to stay knocked down? Am I going to get back up? Am I going to cower away because I'm hurting, or am I going to lean into Jesus, into the power and the help of the Holy Spirit, and with what I know and who God is, am I going to step into, lean into God's grace in the very thing that's causing the hardship, or that's hurting me, that I'm struggling with, that sent me reeling, you know? And I can't seem to make it go away or make it stop, no matter how hard I try. It just seems to be kind of out of my control. It just kind of is hitting me from different directions, and I have to, again, have to decide, how am I going to respond to this? I know what I believe. I know who God is. I know how I feel. But how am I going to choose to respond to this? And I want to invite us to not just, you know, the pep talk, but with Scripture to invite us to endeavor to persevere at any hardship that would set us back or come against us. And to do that, I want to start with taking us back to the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. Actually, it's at the close to the very end of Isaiah chapter 65. It's this passage of Scripture, and it really kind of runs from verse 13 or 12 or 13 to verse 25, but I kind of want to focus a little bit, just on camp here for a moment, on kind of 17 through 25. So if you're taking notes today and you're writing this down, that's kind of where I want to camp. And so in that story, here's the thing. So if you remember any of Israel's story, then they had been disobedient to God, and so their discipline from God was they had been exiled to Babylon. So while they're in Babylon for decades, the Lord tells them, flourish while you're there, but one day you're coming back. Now, in Isaiah 65, verse 17, God is saying, hey, here we go. I'm going to do something, and that's where it starts in verse 17, that I will create, right? And if you read on, you'll notice that in that passage, God is telling them these things that I will do, he says. And then it switches in verse 21. Because in verse 21, God now begins to say, they will. They will build. They will, if you look at the imagery, they will build. They will plant. They will have to harvest the crops that they plant. They will have to work at building the relationships. They are going to have to do this work, but I will first be the one that instigates all of this coming to pass. But I'm not going to do it all for you. You're going to have to step in and gauge the moment that's in front of you that I'm going to present to you that in the long run is going to be turned out for good, for my glory. But we're going to partner together on this. And so Israel has to come back from being in Babylon, and you want to stop for a second in this story and kind of just catch the picture of what they have to come back to, because they've been gone for a long time. But when they left, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, they had destroyed the temple, destroyed the wall around Jerusalem, had raided the treasury. I mean, the town somewhat barren, but some people got left behind. And so you imagine folks have been gone for decades. They come back, and what you see is discouraging. Look at how much we have to rebuild. Look at how much work has got to be done. Look at this temple, which is to be like the pride of our community, this place where God dwells amongst us, and it looks like trash. This wall that protects us from our enemies. You imagine feeling that you're vulnerable to everybody around you, and you don't really have a way to keep them from coming in and attacking? Look at all the work that still has to be done. It wears me out just talking about it. Sometimes you find yourself in a spot in life that when you look at it, you might think, that's more than I can throw at it. That's more than I've got to put in. What am I going to do? Because I don't think I can do what is required to get beyond what I see is right in front of me. It's going to be a lot of hard work. Now, I hope this is not just Western ideology coming out in me in this, but I feel like saying working hard to rebuild and to restore what is broken or what is not where we like for it to be is not to be run from, but is to be persevered through. And so I want to take you to a little example from nature for a moment for this. If you'll throw that picture up there of the flower that I have. Look at that flower. Isn't that pretty cool? I want you to notice something. I got this picture. We were on vacation down with family. I got this picture. So it's on the patio where we were staying. And we like our family and endearingly call it the Cloth Oasis. And Sola, shout out to my family there this morning. But it's very interesting. So what is that plant, flower? Anybody know?
Vineyard.
Okay. Do you notice where it's growing? You ever heard that saying, between a rock and a hard spot? A rock and a hard place? That's where that thing is growing. Isn't that amazing? That's not dirt there. That's the concrete slab that goes around, and then that's stones that are built up right there. And somehow, the seed for that plant got in there. It wasn't on purpose. And we won't talk about how it got in there, but it got there. And I love that it's thriving. And it's blooming right where it's planted. God has provided the sun. God has provided the rain for it. God has provided what it needed to thrive. But yet that plant accepted where it was as something that was just reality for it. And it rose up to thrive right where it was planted. Reaching up, rising up. Do you know that God created you to rise up and to cultivate good, to create, to build, to nurture good in life? In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, if you go back, you throw that verse up here for me. There's this verse in Genesis 1:28, and I'm not going to cover the whole story of creation. As fun as that might be, but we won't do it today. There's this moment where God creates humanity, and he makes this statement. And I love this statement because it's a framework for us to understand what we're supposed to be doing with our lives at a very core level. So watch this. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." And everything that God had created, God had said, it is what? Do you remember? Good. So what God had created, including you, is good. And God has created us to cultivate, to nurture good in the world with what we pour our lives into. Even in our own lives, where we stand in front of hardship, God says, I have created you to rise up, even in hardship, and to cultivate good that will be a blessing to you. That will be a blessing to the community around you. For you see, God didn't create just Adam. Who did he also create? Eve. And they had a bunch, and they had kids. And then their kids had kids. And right, and it keeps going on and on. He created us for community. And in that community, that you and I would create good for others to be blessed. Which throws me right back to, I mean, even just God's promise to Abraham in Genesis. I'm going to bless you so that you will be a blessing to the nations, right? I mean, there's continuity in the whole thing. And if you're ever looking for an inspiration to say, is it really worth what I can step forward with God? Is it really possible to overcome such great hardship in my life right now? Can I encourage you to look to Jesus? I don't know where you're at or what you're going through as you're worshiping online with us today, but I want to invite you to think of Jesus for a moment. Because Jesus Christ, who's the Son of God, came to earth, and he came in the form of humanity, a human being just like you, just like all of us. And he went to the cross. And what did he do at the cross? Do you know? He died on the cross. He was crucified, right? He hung there. He died. And his blood was poured out so that our sins could be forgiven and so that we could be washed clean of our iniquity. To kind of go back a little bit of the King James, kind of older word, right, on that? So that we could wash clean of our sins. So in Christ, through the resurrection, that all that together we could be reborn and no hope in Christ. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift that he's done. And yet in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 3, the author is very specific to make a point that we would understand about what Jesus went through. And I want us to throw that on the screen. Hebrews chapter 12. Go down, I'll come back down. All right. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Who endured? How many hardships have you had to endure? Can you count on all your fingers and your toes? You feel like you're still going through one today? Jesus knows the strain. You know what it's like to be strained through your hardship. He knows the pain and the strain of hardship. And he endured such hostility that strained and pained and ended his life. The writer of Hebrews says, would you remember that? So that when you're going through your hardships, that in your hardship you would still honor God? That if you would think of Christ in that hardship and you hold on to that, that you'll be able to stand and then you won't grow weary and lose heart. In other words, you won't just quit, give up, turn your back and just walk away and say, even through Jesus, I can't get through this. No, through Jesus, you can get through that. There are stories of you guys in this room that I know that because of Jesus, you got through what you went through. And if you didn't have Jesus, you wouldn't be sitting here today. Your life would still be a wreck. And you wouldn't have hope. But because of Jesus, you were able to persevere. And by faith, you endeavored to persevere through. And he honored your faith, and you're sitting here today. And it's not over, and you're not done. And God is not done. He hasn't quit you. And he won't quit because he loves you, and he never stops loving you. And he knows you may feel like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place right now, but that's just where you are. He's still calling you to rise up through faith in Jesus. You don't have the strength to rise up and overcome. Jesus gives you the strength to rise up and overcome, that you might honor God through your standing up. Do you catch that? It's not, I don't want us to think that you're just, hey, dude, you just got to like buck up and come on now. God says, I will, but they will too. It's a partnership. God's got you. But the hard truth is you and I don't get the opportunity to just sit idly by and say, well, God, do it. No, you need to endeavor to persevere, and you'll see that I will be sufficient for you in your time of need. Just like I was for Jesus on the cross, the resurrection, I got you. I got you, man. There is nothing like it throwing you. God says that I cannot carry you through to the end. You know, the book of Revelation said it's all about teaching. Those who are faithful to the end will receive their reward. They will be blessed. That's the heart of the book of Revelation. Don't quit. Be faithful to Christ. And God says, I guarantee you, you will not have to worry about your eternal salvation. Because what I have accomplished through the cross and the resurrection has secured for you an eternal blessing in the kingdom of heaven. I got you, he says. Hold on. Hold on to me. Throw that Galatians back up there, would you, Hope? I know you all appreciate me giving you encouragement, but let's just go to Scripture and we'll get some more encouragement. Here's what the Apostle Paul says, Galatians 6:19. He says, so, you know, let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So God's going to bring a harvest, but the condition is if we don't give up, right? So there's a partnership here. So then whenever we have an opportunity, hey, let's work for the good of all, especially for those of the family of faith. Jesus had his GPS set on the right destination. Paul is trying to help us have our GPS set on the right destination. And you say, what in the world are you talking about, GPS? Watch it. Throw this up. I did put it all together. So I hate it when I just give away the whole thing at once. Sorry. Grace, prayer, and scripture. Said, Pastor, I love what you're saying. It's so encouraging, but can you help me? Just give me some I can walk away from today and say, what can help me to hold on day by day in my hardship? If I'm learning from Jesus and scripture as well, and beyond that, right, beyond even the Gospels, which is why I went to Isaiah today, so we could bring the old and the new together to make this point, that we would set our GPS, as Paul said, on moving towards and working towards and doing what is good and right for the glory of God, for our good and the good of people around us. And I like what I was thinking about Jesus. I always think you can't go wrong if you're just thinking about Jesus, right? So I was trying to think about Jesus and say, well, he went through that. Hebrews says, like, remember him. So maybe what about something that he did or practiced that might be encouragement to me? And I noticed just three, you know, you love how you can put these together. This was on purpose. But I noticed these three that kind of jumped out to me. I thought, well, one was that in going through hardship, Jesus knew where he was headed. And he knew that the grace of God was within. He knew that in his weakness, the grace of God was sufficient for him to accomplish and endeavor to persevere through and accomplish what God had set before him, to go to the cross, to die, to be resurrected, right? He knew that the grace of God was enough. Let me ask you, do you believe that the grace of God is enough for you? Sometimes we say yes, and we walk out those doors, and the way we act doesn't agree with what we just affirmed in worship. I don't want to say that because I've been there, done that. Do we believe, and that belief shape our thinking and our actions, setting on that destination I was talking about a second ago? And then I noticed something else. I thought Jesus had this habit of prayer. Jesus would get away, oftentimes early in the morning, later in the day, but he didn't discriminate. He just prayed any old time. Just get away and pray. But he would get away in prayer by himself, where he received strength from the Father, where he would communicate, talk to the Father, listen to the Father, that sense of communion with the Father, that he knew prayer was critical to him reaching his destination. I thought, I bet that's the same way for us. And then I noticed this third thing, Scripture. Jesus knew the Old Testament Scripture. He did. He knew them. He was quoting them all the time. He was using them in conversations and when he's teaching. I mean, he talked about strategically saying the right thing at the right moment from the perfect place in the Scriptures that would get the attention of the people you're talking to. He was the master at this. He was the great wise sage. He believed that the things that had been done by God, recorded in Scripture, and said by God, and set in motion by God in Scripture were truth, and they were wise. It was wisdom. Undeniable wisdom. Founded and grounded in God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Of course, in Himself, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God. Through grace, prayer, standing on the Scriptures, believing, knowing that they're true, that they will not fail you, that God's, what He said, will come to pass, that when you stand on that, that you can stand up, and even though you're here, you can't stand up. So I don't feel like I can stand up. I know. Like I'm getting battered from every angle. I know. You know, Paul in Ephesians says, even though that's what you feel is happening in your life, look, even when you feel like you've done all you can, I'm telling you that you can stand. You can stand. And you can't persevere unless you choose to stand. When you stand on the grace of God, when you stand on the power of prayer, when you stand on the promises of Scripture, so that when you've done all you can, that you can still stand. Because if you don't stand by faith, grace and prayer on the truth of Scripture, my experience has been, my observation has been, that you end up becoming like that house built on sand that when the storms and the hardships come, it just gets battered and it doesn't endure. It gets washed away. We certainly don't want that, do we? No! Absolutely not at all. One last thing I want to encourage you with. Do not let your feelings determine your faith. Do not let your feelings determine your faith. Feelings are good and they're very helpful. We need to understand them. But oftentimes the way we feel in a moment is not aligned with the truth of who God is still in that moment and who we are in Christ and the promise of Christ that is true upon our lives in that very moment. So maybe you know the whole psalm that says, don't stop believing, hold on to that feeling. I was halfway going to sing that today, and I decided I probably better not. Since we're streaming, I'm not sure we have copyrights to do that, so I thought I better just not. Who sang that song?
Journey.
Man, because that would preach right there. Talk about take a journey, right, and not trust just your feelings, put on faith. That's a little devotional. Somebody should do something with that. It's okay. I give you permission. You can roll with that. It's my free gift to you. It's all good. But no matter where you are and how you feel and what you see in front of you and around you, God has said, I will, but so you will too. Okay? We're going to partner together. And you may be stuck between a rock and a hard place, but God has created you even to thrive in that type of spot. It looks like it shouldn't work, but God has this thing about being able to make things work when it doesn't look like it should work, but he can make it work for his glory if we'll endeavor to persevere, even if it's between a rock and a hard spot. And if you get weary, think of Jesus and the cross, that you will find encouragement. Remember that you've been created to cultivate good and to thrive through faith in Jesus Christ. Trust in the grace of God. Practice ongoing prayer and stand on the Word of God and be affirmed in yourself. I believe what it says is true, and God will honor his word. I feel like I'm being thrown around, but God, you say you'll do what you say, and so I'm going to trust that you're going to be God in my weakness. And I'm going to endeavor to persevere for your glory, for my good, and the good of those around me. I'm encouraged. I don't know about you guys, but I am. Like, I'm ready to take on the world. Yeah? Yes, absolutely. Well, I'll let God do all the heavy lifting, and I'll just work with him and partner with him in whatever we're going to do as we move forward. Amen. Hey, before we sing, I'd like to ask Abby to come up and share our announcements today that kind of connect to where we are as a church. And singers and team, if you want to come on up, that'd be great. And Father, and let me just take a moment just to ask that asking you, if you would please take these words, take this worship, take our community, our fellowship, and would you strengthen us, and would you give us all that we need to be able to succeed and as we endeavor to persevere through the power of faith, no matter where we are, where we're at, what life's throwing at us, as we do it, remembering that you love us and you're working for our good through our faith. Amen.